I've seen Killarney on a sunlit day, and it's absolutely incredible. Now, seeing God in creation is one thing, but a church of worshiping people in full flow is unique and entirely different. Where you have a worshiping church in full flow, the church becomes a center for the power of God to be released, and it shakes up the kingdom of darkness. There's something awesome, something truly spectacular that happens when the church of God gathers to declare the works of God in the face of the power of darkness. What happens is that God's awesome power is released through his people. Wholeness, deliverance, freedom, healing are released and increased in people who worship. So this morning, what vision do I have for worship? Let me tell you what I see. I see biblical worship. And I want to unpack for us this morning what biblical worship is. Now you can get Pentecostal worship. You can get Anglican worship. You can get Methodist worship. You can get all kinds of worship. But what is biblical worship? That's the question that I want to unpack for us this morning. First of all, let me say that biblical worship is congregational. Note that the psalmist this morning says, I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. As I meet with his godly people. Here we are talking not about worship at the lake, worship out in creation. We're talking about the worship of God that happens when the people of God come together in unity and in power and in full flow. That is why it is so important to gather the congregation of God's people in a town like Ullerton on a Sunday morning. Because we speak something powerful to the powers of darkness over Ullerton. That's why the church exists in Ullerton. We're not here for Newark. We're not here for Mansfield. People of God in Ullerton, we are here to speak the power of God and the praise of God over this town, over Ullerton and Booton and the immediate surrounding area. And it's as we meet with his godly people. That's the first thing I want to say, that biblical worship is congregational. And it's as the local congregations gather together in their local town and in their local vicinity, they have an amazing impact upon the atmosphere over that particular town and over that particular place. We want to see strongholds of Satan coming down over Ullerton, over Booton, over Edwinstow, over Wellesby, over Bilsthorpe. Hallelujah. Amen? That's why we gather together here on a Sunday morning. And as our worship goes up, we are punching a hole or a pillar, if you like, in the powers and the principalities of darkness over this time. And God is releasing, not just into this church, but God is releasing into the town. Answers to prayer, healings, deliverances. He's releasing conversions. He's releasing his voice. You know, the more we worship in this church, I have a vision for all this building being filled on a Sunday morning with praying, with fervent, with worshiping people who send up a pillar of praise into the heavenlies so that God releases his power, first of all, into your lives, because you will experience power and deliverance and healing as you come in and you worship God Sunday by Sunday. Congregational worship. Secondly, biblical worship is, going backwards, biblical worship is God-centered. The psalmist begins by saying, praise the Lord. He doesn't say, praise Allah. He doesn't say, praise Muhammad. He says, praise the Lord. Who is the Lord? He's the God of Israel. He's the God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord we worship. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's whom we worship. And, you know, we hear time and time again that there is no God like our God. And we believe it, don't we? And we see that in our lives. God's power is reflected in our lives. The Lord reflects this sentiment through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, where he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. So we have gathered together today because we are not giving our time to idols and we're not giving the glory of God to someone else. We're giving it to God, to the Lord. Today, we're not giving our glory to the supermarket, to the Sunday market, to the car boot sale, to the football game, to the rugby game, to the golf club. We give our glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. These things can be idols to us if we replace the worship of God with these things. Let them not be idols to us. We are not going to give praise to idols, but we are going to give praise to God, the Father of Jesus, who deserves every ounce and every inch of our praise. That's the second thing. Amen? Biblical worship is congregational. Doesn't mean to say we don't worship and praise on our own, in our own homes. That's fantastic. But biblical worship is very much congregational. Biblical worship is centered on the Lord, the God of the universe, the God of Jesus Christ. We honor the God, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the third thing that I see is that biblical worship is wholehearted. That's what the psalm says. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. This means that it's authentic. It's coming from me. It's coming from all of me. Not just a part of me. It's not fake. It's real. Because God is not looking, hear this, please. God is not looking for a place in your heart. He's not asking you to invite him into your life to give him a place in your heart. God is looking for all your heart. Amen? God is jealous for all of you. He will not share his glory with anything else in your heart. He's looking for wholehearted Christians who worship him wholeheartedly. Amen? So what does that look like? What is wholehearted worship? Well, wholehearted worship considers the act of worship to be more important than anything else. The act of worship for a wholehearted Christian is more important than anything else. When we worship, what else, can I ask you, could be more important than worshiping God? Is there anything else in life that could be more important than worship at that particular moment? Let's think about it. Maybe what other people are doing is more important. Maybe what other people are saying is more important. Maybe what other people are wearing is more important. Maybe what's going off on your phone is more important. You see, when it comes to worship, there will be many things that seek to distract you. Since you've come in here this morning, I'm sure you have had several distractions. Or even before you came to worship this morning, you had many distractions. The children making you late. An argument before you set out. A discussion about an unrelated matter as soon as you arrive. A sudden urge to leave the meeting. Wow, that happens. People get sudden urges sometimes and they just get up and walk out. Someone coming in late. Negative thoughts about yourself crowding in on you. Or your own personal insecurity. All of these things and many, many more conspire to take your gaze away from the one that we worship here on a Sunday morning. There is nothing more important than worship. After all, you and I, we are going to spend our eternity in the presence of God, worshiping Almighty God. So we need to get used to worship. Worshiping God with all your heart means expressing your love for Jesus. A young woman, many years ago, always wore a locket that she would not allow anybody else to open or to look into. And everybody thought that there must be some romance connected to this locket. And that in that locket there must be the picture of the one that she loved. She died at a young age, and after her death, the locket was opened. Everyone was wondering whose face would be on that locket. And as they opened the locket, a slip of paper fell out. And on the slip of paper were written these words: "Though I have not seen him, I love him." Reflecting 1 Peter 1, verse 8. Though we have not seen him, we love him. Though we have not seen him, we worship him. Though we have not seen him, he is everything to us this morning. There is nothing that can distract me. There is nothing that should distract me. Once the act of worship has begun, we should be here on time. Challenge to LifeSpring Church this morning to come here on time, because you all know that our act of worship starts at 10:30, not 10:25. It starts at 10:30. We have a countdown. The reason for the countdown is that when it reaches naught, that's when our act of worship begins. So challenge to our church this morning to be on time, to be ready, to be prepared. The key, if there is one key to successful worship in a local church, it's that everybody comes, that everybody is ready, and that everybody is prepared and here on time. That releases an awesome sense of morale and confidence in the people of God. When the people of God show up, when the people of God come on time, when the people of God are ready, and when the people of God worship him with all of their heart. The Lord Jesus is our only lover, and for him we will do anything. For him we will come on time. For him we will prepare. For him we will be ready. We love him this morning because everything that he does in our lives in our world reveals his wonderful works, his loving character, his provision for you and for me, and especially the fact that he has ransomed us. As the psalmist says this morning, he has paid a full ransom for his people. He has bought you back from the dominion of darkness. And if you're here this morning and you've never taken that step, you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never stepped out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of his light, then you can do it this morning. You can go to somebody and say, I want to give my life to Jesus because I want to serve this awesome, incredible God that you have. Because he has paid the full ransom for your life. He has bought you at a price when he died on the cross for you. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever, it says. What a holy, awesome, awe-inspiring name he has. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus can set you free. There is salvation in nobody else. Oh, society today will tell us that all religions are equal. Not in God's eyes. There is only one name that God recognizes as bringing salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who brings us into his eternal kingdom, who causes us to be born again by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. So God is looking for wholehearted worship. Number four, biblical worship is not only wholehearted, it's also liberating. It's power releasing. I see, you asked me for my vision for worship. I see great power being released. As God's people gather together on time and prepared and ready to worship, I see great power being released. How does that happen? Because you may say, well, I come to church to have my own private little time with God. That's not what it's about. If you look at the Bible, you see that the church was born in a worship service. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Go home and read it again. The church was born in a worship service, not as a result of preaching the gospel. It was in a worship service that the Spirit of God came upon the apostles and disciples. At Pentecost, it was worship that led to a miraculous outpouring of the Spirit of God, and that then led to 3,000 people giving their lives to Jesus. Throughout Scripture, whenever the church is at prayer or in worship, there is a great release of divine power. The most notable episode that we know of in the Bible is the outflow that took place at a worship meeting at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. That meeting changed the course of history. That meeting at Antioch in Acts chapter 13 changed the course of history. Because if I can say it, if that meeting had not taken place, if God had not come into that meeting and spoken to Paul and Barnabas to go to the Gentiles, this whole country could be Muslim today. We could all be going to the mosque rather than going to church. That's how important that worship meeting was. Worship changes the course of history. Worship changes the course of individual people's lives. And worship can change the course of history of this town. Amen? So, throughout Scripture, wherever men and women worship God, there is a great release of divine power. Rulership. God's rule is established and extended in worship. It's the means by which God establishes his rule and authority in our lives. Where God's presence is, there is always power. It always comes with power. Where worship is released, God's presence will abide. Our hearts are the battleground, if you like. God's power and rule will be established in us and through us to flow to others. So as we worship God, His rule is established in our lives. And as His rule is established in our lives, His peace and His provision and His prosperity extends also in our lives. Worship is the key to being an effective Christian. Not only is it established, it's also extended. Worship generates the power for God's rule to be extended. So for evangelism, for example, for sacrificial giving, for intercession, for the growth in our small groups, for growth in vision, and numerically for our youth and children's work, but above all, to bring down the strongholds of Satan and of hell. Isn't that amazing? I mean, do we believe this? Do we believe this? Will you worship with all of your heart? Will you be a congregational worshiper? Will you be a God-centered worshiper? Will you be a wholehearted worshiper? Will you be a liberated worshiper? You see, when we come to worship, we must seek a release in our spirits, a release in our emotions. What I find when I worship God in this way is that God releases me. God sets me free. It's like He pours oil into me, and the bits inside of me that are rusty, I find them just being freed up. I find myself praising God with greater freedom. I find myself being able to pray. Genuine, authentic worship brings about a release in you. It is the most healing and therapeutic thing you can do. Amen? If you've got mental health issues, it's the most healing and therapeutic thing you can do is to worship God. He can liberate you. If you are sick, the most healing thing you can do is worship God. If you are bound up in anxiety and in worry, the most liberating thing you can do is worship God. Because in genuine worship, you release your cares and anxieties. You release your painful memories and your hurts. You release your physical ailments. And in genuine worship, demons flee from you. Amen? But above all, you get a release from a poverty spirit and into a sacrificial spirit of giving of all kinds. The kind that Beverly was talking about this morning. In worship, there's a release for the church to evangelize and to go into mission. In worship, there's a release to move on into maturity and into discipleship. There's a release to pray and to intercede. There's a release to break the strongholds of hell. Praise God. So people, are you challenged this morning? I am. There will be people in our midst who will either doubt or mock or take offense. That's one group of people. Doubt, mock, take offense. There will be those who say, we must hold back in worship because visitors will be offended. There will be those then who will move in worship. They will move in abundance in worship, and they will see an abundance of the power of God released through worship in their lives. So four things so far. Number one, worship is congregational. Number two, biblical worship is God-centered. Number three, biblical worship is wholehearted. Number four, biblical worship is liberating. And number five, biblical worship is dynamic. Biblical worship must be dynamic and not led by our fears and by our phobias or even our pride. All those things, if we are to worship God in the way I'm challenging us this morning, fear, phobia, pride have to come down, because fear and pride are close traveling companions. We are born into this earth with an inherent fear. We enter life with our fists clenched, and the rest of life is spent in learning to let go. Amen? Worship is an experience of letting go and letting God. So worship confronts pride because it requires openness, honesty, acknowledgement of need, and the presentation of yourself to God. It confronts your pride. Dynamic worship is three things. It's physical, it's expressive, it's vocal, and it's a fourth thing as well, it's confrontational. Physical, this means it releases, it's a release of your body and of your body posture and of your movement. If you're in a counseling session with somebody, a listening session, it doesn't take much for you to discern whether that person is receiving from you or not. How do you know? It's because of body posture. How do you know if people come in here on a Sunday morning and they are truly expressing what's in their heart? It's got to do with body posture. It's got to do with releasing your body. So, for example, when something of significance happens, what do? We stand up. We often put our hands in the air. When we are excited and overawed, we express our inward feelings outwardly with our bodies. And so, dynamic worship, when the power of God comes and the presence of God comes, we express it externally with our hands, with our faces, with our body posture. So it's physical. Number two, it's expressive. That means that we are animated, that we are communicative, and that we are dynamic. Number three, it's vocal, because we speak out complimentary things about God. That's what you do when you appreciate somebody. You speak out loud your complimentary, your compliments about God. We don't keep them in our hearts. We say, well, you know, thinking, well, so-and-so has done all these wonderful things for me, and I'm very grateful in my heart, but I'm not going to speak it out. Dynamic worship speaks out. Dynamic worship is expressive. Dynamic worship is vocal. And finally, dynamic worship is confrontational. The physical, expressive style of worship is intended to gently lead people who are afraid into confrontation with pride. Because the great enemy of worship and the great enemy of God is our pride. Pride in each one of us has to be dealt with. It's got to be confronted. It's got to be broken in the name of Jesus. And what a better way to do it than to confront it by worshiping God and allowing the Spirit of God to bring it down.